Morning, it's John Gibson, Morning Digestion for, what is this, October 14th. If you don't do your taxes until October 15th, well, you better get busy because this is the day. Okay, so those of you who haven't subscribed to the podcast, do that now by going to johngibson.com. I'll explain why there were pictures of my grandson John and Billy Joel on my Facebook account this weekend. It's an interesting story. I'm sure you'll want to hear it. So johngibson.com and become a subscriber. And a shout out to Christy O'Hara, who was at the concert. I'll give a more fulsome shout out later. Was at the concert. And she is a big fan of the show and recognized me and came over and said hello, and that was very nice, and took a picture. And I realized I had her on my Facebook list for quite a while. Anyway, she's a very nice woman. She's a fan of the show, so that makes her super nice. And I'll probably mention that a little bit later on the podcast as well. Okay, so in the news, let me just take take the news items in order of what the news media thinks is most important, not necessarily what I think, but what they think. New York Times, the Kurds throw in with Assad's government. New York Times, Assad's army moves into a border town. Axios, 950 ISIS escape. Washington Post, Assad and the Kurds join together to ward off the Turks. And the Washington Post top advisors couldn't convince Trump, and now he is doubling down on his decision. You know, in a way, what all this coverage tells me is what a mess, and what were we doing in the middle of it? And I know, you know, people tell me, oh, we're abandoning the Kurds. And I know, I've said that myself. The way that that these people, you know, switch loyalties so fast is, and pictures of, you know, sort of the mud hut towns that we're, you know, defending, it just, you know, it started me thinking, well, gee, maybe we shouldn't be there. It's just a mess. I understand rise of ISIS. You know, Trump is taking a chance that he could end up looking like Obama here. But I kind of understand why he wanted to get out. It's just a god-awful mess. Trump, impeachment shines light on his state of mind. This is the Washington Post piece. There's sort of five aspects to his state of mind. There are things like belligerence and martyrdom and anyway, you know, they're talking about the way he's hit back on the impeachment thing, you know, which is very curious. I mean, there isn't a direct corollary piece in the New York Times today, but it might as well be. What they seem to think is if the Democrats go after him full bore on impeachment, he's not supposed to react. He's supposed to sit and take it. He's supposed to say, oh, well, they're carrying out their duties under the law. I guess I just have to take it. I mean, first of all, we all know that's not how he operates at all. So it's an unreasonable expectation. And number two, why would anybody just take it? You know, they complain that he says he's a victim. Well, he kind of is. And that gets into the politics section next. Axios, Ohio swing voters outraged at Democrats over impeachment. This is a warning to Democrats that if this attitude of these focus group participants in Ohio, who are called swing voters, if this is a general attitude across the country, this is bad for Democrats. All right. Politico, Schiff says a whistleblower might not testify. Wait a second. Well, first of all, it sort of undercuts we know that the whistleblower's account of all this has been undercut by the transcript of the phone call between Zelensky and Trump. So, you know, what really probably wasn't necessary for the whistleblower to testify anyway, but they wanted to use him to sort of galvanize the public sentiment against Trump. And now they don't want him to testify. Well, why? Well, if Schiff and the Democrats say because they're afraid Republicans are going to identify him. Well, yeah, that might happen. And that what they really don't want is the whistleblower to be cross-examined. They don't want the Republicans asking them questions like, well, so what was your relationship with Joe Biden? Were you a Biden supporter? Did you contribute to his campaign? Have you made statements before against President Trump? They don't want that stuff. Axios, Trump says, hang on, whistleblower must testify. We must know who he is. Politico, some Democrats are saying to Nancy Pelosi, Trump is criticizing us because we won't hold a vote on impeachment. So let's hold a vote on impeachment. Well, good. Go ahead. Once again, we're in the politics segment. LA Times, Lizzie has escaped scrutiny of her age, which is 70. You know, Joe Biden's getting it because of his age, and so is Bernie, but not Lizzie. Politico, Warren on top as the debate, which is tomorrow night, because this is the first debate since Bernie had his heart attack and Biden's son's scandal and impeachment. And so Warren seems to be leading the pack there. And another indicator of that is Bernie slams Lizzie as a capitalist. That's in Fox News. A capitalist. Wall Street Journal, Hunter Biden resigns from the board of the Chinese firm he was on. Axios, Biden rolls out anti-corruption plan that says he won't do it anymore. This is unbelievable. Biden's anti-corruption plan essentially says, yeah, I was very corrupt with the way I dealt with my son in my office. So I can promise you this. None of my relatives will have jobs on the boards of foreign companies. Well, gee, okay. Kind of confirms it. What you were doing was wrong, doesn't it? New York Times, various candidates and how they spend their money on Facebook, who is targeted. This was interesting to me because I see these Facebook ads. I never see them on my Facebook. So they were not targeting me at all. But apparently, with a couple of rare exceptions, everybody is targeting older women. And the other thing that's really interesting is how much money Tom Steyer spent. It's way more than everybody else. And, you know, he's just such a loser. New York Times, Warren has no endorsement from Democratic officials. You know, governors, congresspeople, stuff like that. None. New York Times, this is a columnist, David Leonhardt. Actually, impeachment is worse for the president than the impeachers. Now, this is, you know, this is one of those pieces of propaganda that pop up, you know, in reaction to conventional wisdom. And conventional wisdom in this case is that impeachment is bad for the impeachers. It was bad for Republicans when they impeached Clinton. And what this guy is saying, oh, no, it's much worse for Clinton. So, you know, don't be hesitant to impeach because of that, because it really will be bad for Trump. Wall Street Journal, Trump shelves tariffs against the Chinese while leaving his demands to be worked out later. Well, so the intellectual property thing, they agreed to, you know, do something, but they're working out the details, supposedly. But, you know, supposedly they got, he got $50 billion worth of soybeans sold to China, so the farmers will be happy. Social justice warriors, Texas black woman killed by white cop inside her home. This is one of those terrible stories. I mean, I'm running the New York Times version, but obviously it's pretty big where I live. It was in Fort Worth, and a cop was responding to a call that there was a door ajar in a home, you know, indicating maybe somebody had invaded the home. And a cop is in the backyard, and this woman is standing at the window, and she's nothing but a silhouette, trying to see what's going on in the backyard. And he's yelling at her, "Show me your hands." And I guess she couldn't hear it or whatever. He wasn't identifying himself as a cop, and he shot her and killed her. And this guy was on the force 1 year since 2018. That's going to be bad. New York Times, China beat the NBA. Easy. Wall Street Journal, China is forever pissed off at the NFL. Going back to 2004, a Super Bowl for a one-second picture of Tiananmen Square. That was the year that Justin Timberlake pulled a shirt off of Janet Jackson's tit. Remember that? And, you know, it was being shown in China. The Super Bowl was being shown in China. And what the NFL didn't realize was that one-second picture of Tiananmen Square, there was some kind of, you know, video being played about freedom. That really ticked off the Chinese, and the NFL essentially lost China to the NBA at that point. New York Times, oops, turns out at sea, not all plastic lasts forever. Some of it gets degraded by sunlight. LA Times, Ronan Farrow's book has NBC executives freaking out. Yeah, he really, you know, this thing about Matt Lauer is almost a sidebar. I mean, he really went after Noah Oppenheim, who's the president of NBC News, and then Andy Lack, his boss, who's whatever his title is, I don't know, and even Phil Griffin, my old boss, gets raked over the coals. And, you know, this is about, I mean, Noah Oppenheim, there's no way this guy should be president of NBC News. He killed the Ronan Farrow story about Harvey Weinstein because, you know, oh, you don't have the facts. Well, we know he had the facts. But really, Noah Oppenheim had deals with Harvey Weinstein. He had a side job writing scripts. And, you know, the conflict of interest there is just unbelievable. So, you know, Farrow's exposing it, and it's, you know, they're all upset about this book. But I bet you that it causes some of them to be gone. Okay, this subject. New York Times, why is Fox griping about his chief booster, Fox? And this is about how Fox is... you know, been upsetting Trump lately, and he's turning to One America News as his new favorite Trump-boosting TV network. And this plays into the other big story over the weekend. Saint Shepard Smith has left Fox News because he couldn't take it anymore. Is what the story is, that Fox had just turned into a Trump booster operation, and he just couldn't stand it anymore. And he has integrity, and he has the best interests of the country at heart. And he tried to add some truth to the Fox mix of propaganda and fanzine adulation of Trump. And he was the one truth-sayer there. And all of a sudden, he just couldn't take it anymore. He left. Well, all right. I mean, you know, first of all, Fox people went on Twitter to, you know, compliment Shep on his 23 years, you know, his great breaking news skills. And he was good at that and so forth. But the Fox people, I mean, it's clear, you know, that a combination of people actually do feel that way, and orders went out from corporate: don't attack Shep. You know, we want good feelings around Shep deciding to leave. So why did Shep decide to leave? I mean, there's no question he hated Trump. And he thought his job at Fox was to counter the opinion host later in the evening. But that had degenerated into, you know, what we call pissing inside the tent. Shep had, you know, recently, I talked about it here, accused Tucker Carlson, or said Tucker Carlson was repugnant. Now, he actually said Tucker Carlson's guest was repugnant, but it essentially was calling Tucker repugnant. And you just can't do that. I mean, you just can't. And I think what happened is that the boss has said to Shep, you just can't do that. You're just going to have to cool it. And he said, well, I don't want to do it. I got my 50, 60 million in the bank. I'm just going to go do something else. And I'm sure there's a non-compete clause in his exit papers that covers the next couple of years, and then he'll pop up someplace, I can promise you. But there'll be a 2-year interregnum. And when he comes back, watch out, he's going to go after Fox big time. Now, you know, Fox is always accused of being, you know, a collection of Trump toadies. And Shep was always the guy who Fox insiders could point to and say, well, you know, we got Shep. Now, he goes off the reservation every day at 3:00 Eastern. Now, the papers are saying, well, Fox has now been deprived of its defense, which is, we've got Shep. Except, no, it hasn't been deprived of its defense because it's got Trump bitching about Fox. Well, how big a booster operation could it be if Trump is complaining about it, saying we got to find a new network? This one isn't nice enough to me. Look, here's what I think. And this, going back to what Ailes said when he started Fox, he said it to me. Is that he knew there was an underserved audience out there. What's an underserved audience? It was a conservative audience that was getting nothing in the media except for talk radio. Nothing in TV, nothing in the newspapers. And he started Fox to counter that. And that's all really Fox does is take care of the underserved audience. And the underserved audience elected Trump. I don't see Fox's support of Trump so much as support of him as support of the voters who voted for him, which I think is perfectly legitimate. And yeah, there are things that, you know, Fox, that Trump voters don't like about him. And, they complain about it under their breath, but I think they're still going to vote for him. Anyway, expect more about Saint Shep in news. Somebody's going to get to him. He's going to do an interview. He's going to explain how he just couldn't take it anymore. Saint Shep. I'll say this: when I was doing a 5 o'clock show, which was 8 years. Virtually every day, while I was on the air, I would get these, we had a computer system where you would get top of screen messages from somebody. I mean, like if you had your computer open, there was a little line at the top. And if the boss said, you know, zip up your pants, you would see this instantly. It wasn't like you had to open an email or anything. I would get these top of screen notes from Shep. That isn't true. How can you say that? And I kind of would laugh it off, like, oh, you know, hey, take care of your own show. I'm doing mine. Little did I know that that was an indicator that he wasn't a fan. And he probably had some influence. I probably should have taken it more seriously. But at the time, it was like, you can join the Shep team. You know, if you were on Team Shep, and believe me, there was a Team Shep there, then Shep would protect everybody on Team Shep. If you weren't on the Shep team, you might be subject to some criticism at the highest levels from St. Shep. Anyway, that's what's going on there as far as I know. Tech, we work and we live collapse. Adam Neumann, the founder, got away with $700 million. That's in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. Neumann was buying up million-dollar residential properties before the collapse. What happened was the IPO failed. I mean, investors started looking at the finances behind WeWork and realized, it wasn't worth $47 billion. It wasn't worth $20 billion. New York Times, Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency is not working out so good. Some of the major partners, mainly credit card companies and banks, are pulling out. Lizzie Warren escalates her war with Facebook. This is in Politico. What she did was she made an ad that was opened with a bald-faced lie. And she said Facebook's policy that it's not going to fact-check political ads means that Trump can go on and lie on Facebook. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, why that diet soda myth won't die. And by the way, diet soda won't kill you. That's in the New York Times. Wall Street Journal, blackouts forcing Californians to think about leaving. Wall Street Journal, pot-growing companies crash. Oh, and this one is personal for me. The Loma Prieta earthquake in San Francisco was 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Now, when I worked in San Francisco as a street reporter for 10 years, there were two stories that consumed us. And we always went back to, when will the Giants be in the World Series? And when's the big one coming? Well, they both happened at the same moment. The Giants and A's were in the World Series playing at Candlestick Park, and the earthquake hit. And I was 700 miles north on Vancouver Island. You know, I got back in a day or so, and I ended up covering the aftermath of the earthquake. But it was a pretty, you know, and I often criticize Dianne Feinstein for her, in her present role as a Democratic senator and an arch liberal. But Dianne Feinstein did two things that saved many, many lives in San Francisco. Number one, she would not let the fire department cancel the fire boats and, you know, put them out of business, put them in mothballs. They cost money, but the fire boats saved the Marina District. Because there wasn't any way to pump water on those fires down there in the Marina District except the fireboats. Fireboats parked themselves in, you know, right off the beach, and hoses ran from the fireboats to the firemen on shore, and the firemen were able to put the fires out with salt water. And it wouldn't have happened unless that the fireboats were still in operation. Number two, Candlestick Park, now gone, had these canopies that were over the nosebleed seats way up high. The canopies were like, you know, 100-ton concrete slabs, and they were cantilevered out to provide shade. Some engineer came to Diane and said, you know, the supports on those things are rusting. They're going to fall in an earthquake. And she said, fix them. Just do it now. And there wasn't any blue ribbon commissions. There wasn't, you know, she just said, fix them. So they put posts on them, holding them up. They were kind of unsightly, but they were a safety measure. And when the earthquake happened, those 100-ton concrete blocks did not collapse and slide down to the infield, chopping the heads off of thousands as they went. So back in her days as mayor of San Francisco, Diane did some things that were, she closed the bathhouses, which kind of arrested the AIDS epidemic or helped to slow it down. She saved lives at Candlestick during that earthquake, and she saved the Marina District from burning down. And that was all the Loma Prieta earthquake. Wow, I went long this time. I hope you guys like that because I just had a few things to say. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, go do that now at johngibson.com because on the podcast I'm going to explain why there's pictures of my grandson with Billy Joel at Billy Joel's concert over the weekend. All right? Okay, that's the morning digestion. I'll see you on the podcast a little bit later. There's an edit right there. Did you hear that edit? Yeah, it's a little sloppy on my part. Here it comes again. Yeah, oosh. Kind of clunky, huh?